This program is sponsored by Cane Vineyard and Winery. For more information, go to cane5.com.
The energy at the studio today is electric. So electric, there's two cans of Red Bull on the thing. We are here live from New York City in the heart of Bushwick. HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Jason Clucci. This is the Morning After. Show is stacked today with guests, interviews from Googa Mooga. That's the event we did. Was it last week? I don't even remember at this point. It was 2 weeks ago, possibly. Johnny Santiago, co-proprietor of Joe's, is in studio today with Chef Andrew Pressler, gentlemen that work with Zach Palacio, the Fatty Q Corporation, if you will. Our good friend of the show, Jen Tulloch and Matthew Bourgeois, are in studio. Matt, what's going on? Social media guru Matt Bourgeois, how are you doing? You're very far away from the microphone. You're about 15 feet away.
I'm here.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure that you're there. What's up, man? Are we doing some Twitter?
Yeah,
some
we're a tweet now. We got some Instagram going on today, a little Facebook.
Yep. Facebook, Instagram, that's one company now. Did you buy any of that stock?
No, luckily I didn't.
Tulloch is here. We're going to send Tulloch out to Danny Meyer's Big Apple Barbecue Festival next week. We unfortunately will be covering Bonnaroo out.
I feel very sorry.
Unfortunately?
Sorry.
Fortunately.
Sorry, you didn't pick up. I'm sorry, you didn't pick up on that. Sorry, you're very literal, Matt. So literal that you're sending literal text messages to some girl that you met in Vegas two years. So you met a girl in Vegas 2 years ago, and you're sending her text messages to hang out with her right now. What was the last, Bennett? What was the last text message that you guys sent out? Whatever. Anyway, you're going back and forth with some girl that you want to hang out with that you met in Vegas. It's not happening. So many things have changed here at HeritageRadioNetwork.com. One of the main things is we have a new engineer. Jack Inslee is still with the company. He has a big title. He's the vice president of Heritage Radio, which means if Patrick Marnes is assassinated, he becomes the president. We have a new gentleman, a graduate of Tisch School of the Arts, which means that he has a $120,000 loan out there that he needs to pay back. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? So this is my first day, but I have two corrections for you already.
What's that?
Jack Inslee is the president.
He's a president?
He's the president. He's top dog. Oh. And I'm a graduate.
Because he acts like a vice president.
He does. He kind of has this Joe Biden thing going for him.
He does. He wants to build a train from Connecticut to California. No, so Joe, tell me a little bit about yourself. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to Sundays on the Morning After. The Sunday is the must see TV on Heritage Radio. We have Seinfeld, Frasier, Cheers,
the hits,
all the hits on Sunday. Whether it's Mike and Judy, the Morning After, the Main Course, Straight No Chaser, and
good
burning,
shows.
Literally burning down the house.
Burning down the house. Yeah, I've heard things. I'm excited.
You're excited. So you're here. You're familiar with our format. Anything that we need to know on your end?
I'm extremely easy to please.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your sign? Are you a Taurus?
No, I'm an Aquarius.
Aquarius. Okay. All right. So we'll make a note of that.
Please do.
Okay. Cool. So this is the Morning After. We do a ton of clips, a ton of call-ins. We talked about Bonnaroo. We have a relationship with Bjork, and she's going to call in. I guess she's not going to be at Bonnaroo this next week, and she wanted to talk about that. Matt, what was that zombie apocalypse thing that you were talking about? There's a clip all over the YouTube with a guy, an African-American individual eating some guy's face in L.A. What's that?
No, it was down in Miami, and there's actually a couple other incidents that happened right after it, so a lot of people are just kind of...
Wait, in Miami?
Yeah, it's trending right now, a lot of
zombies trending
talk.
Right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, well, you know, it might be happening.
A guy was on acid, or was he like...
Bath salts.
What happened?
He was on bath salts.
Bath salts? Epsons?
Yeah, they found a chemical... And a common brand of bath salts that have a hallucinogenic effect. I'm not speaking from personal experience.
Oh, okay.
There was a mother who was eating her baby's like toes and stuff as well.
And a guy who threw a piece of his intestines at police.
And wait, was this a new ingredient they put into bath salts, or was it just something randomly that happened? whatever. But anyone could find this happened.
It's trending. It's everywhere.
It's trending. And we say trending. We can also talk about Flavor Wire or the other
Flavor website, Pill.
Flavor Pill. There's this gentleman that is photoshopping in China. He's taking photographs of people on bicycles and photoshopping out the bicycle completely. And it's kind of trippy. What's is there the artist's name on that, Matt? Or if we follow up on that, why don't we have this information ready to go? You're fired at social media. I'm kidding. we covered Googa Mooga, and we have some great clips. We tweeted them out, but we decided to make a conscious effort to play them here on the show because we put a lot of work into Googa Mooga. Everyone at 44 Communications, Chris Langley, Alexandra Hans helped us out majorly. So we're going to play this clip and then we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk to Johnny Santiago from Joe's.
Heritage Radio Network at the Great Googa Mooga.
We have Jason Colucci and the Morning After team in the field fighting through blood, sweat, and cocktails to get interviews with some of the top names at the festival.
We are live from the Great Googa Mooga. I'm Jason Colucci, host of The Morning After, HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
First up, Marcus Samuelson, Ethiopian-born chef and owner of Red Rooster Harlem in New York City and three other restaurants.
Here comes Marcus Samuelson right now. Chef, please come in.
I love this. How are you?
You're sort of so far ahead of everything. You were doing that bike share program.
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Well, I just think that when you're in a neighborhood like Harlem, we want you to come and stay. And even if you don't go to Rooster, it's okay. We have bikes there and people can borrow them. And then you can just go up and bike around and you can see, you know, Apollo. You can go to see wonderful brownstones. You can go up and see Parlor Jazz, which is an incredible jazz experience on Sundays in the latest home on 160th and Edgecombe, you know. Roberta's and Bushwick is a huge inspiration for me of opening Red Rooster because I love how the Brooklyn Movement said, you know what, we're going to create stuff here that looks inward towards Brooklyn. And at Harlem, I felt like, you know what, I'm going to create something that completely looks inward. And if you want to come, great. If you don't want to come, no problem either. And that I saw through, you know, Marlon and Son, through the diner, through Frankie, through Roberta's, and it's being part of that conversation.
And we're talking about the Harlem Renaissance. When we hear Harlem Renaissance, we think Langston Hughes. Now the new names that happen, we hear Marcus Samuelson. Anyone else that comes to mind that's operating up their businesses that don't get as much attention?
Oh, I mean, I think what Thelma's doing at the Studio Museum is amazing, but also a guy that I brought with me, Christian Scott, an amazing jazz artist. So a lot of things in Harlem, some things are official, and some are not official. You know, I always go to the Sometimes restaurant. It's my Jamaican guy that is open. I call it the Sometimes restaurant because I never know when it's open. Harlem has this mystique around it, and in this sort of time where everybody posts all the time, we're trying to rediscover cool and mystique, and Harlem has a lot of cool and mystique things. Yeah.
Next up, Jason catches up with Pat LaFrieda from the new reality show Meat Men and Pat LaFrieda Wholesale Meat Purveyors.
I'm sitting here, Jason Colucci, host of The Morning After with Pat LaFrieda Jr. Pat, I heard something. I don't know if I've been watching Meat Men religiously. Yeah. I like the show. I didn't know. Were you in the service?
Yeah, I was in the Army Reserve for 8 years. So I did my 6 years that was required of the Army, and then I reopted for two additional. So I did 8 years.
Was it like your summer job working it for your dad, and then you went and you sort of did your own thing? I couldn't figure that out.
No. In 1990, I joined the Army Reserve when I was in college. It was right before the first Gulf War, and I had to make that decision whether to stay in the military and risk going off to war or my family business. So, of course, I chose the family business. But I had given the Army 8 years to use and abuse me, which was a great education.
And somebody as myself that works in operations, do you apply a lot of those operational skills?
Every day.
So we're at the Great Googa Mooga today. You guys are roasting a whole steer, not to be confused with a cow, which is what you get milk from.
Correct. My dad gets very angry about that. It's a steer. It's a black Angus steer. It's 876 pounds. It's head to tail. It's the whole thing split, butterflied open, and it's in the bottom on a cage. So after 30 hours at 185 degrees, we're going to lift that out with a forklift. And the entire cage is going to rest on top of the cappuccino box.
Jason hung out with New York City restaurateur and food legend Danny Meyer.
I watched the interview you had at Charlie Rose, and I have to say, as a restaurant person, that was probably one of the, made me so proud and one of the best interviews about our industry that I have ever seen. What was that experience like?
First of all, thank you. That feels great to hear you say that. It was a great experience. I was about as nervous as I could possibly be, which was great because I listened to that, and that always tells me it matters. And he asks good questions, and you have no idea where it's going, and you got one shot at it, and you just give it your best, and I'm glad you liked it.
One time I was walking on 7th Avenue here in Park Slope, and I'm walking, and I see a gentleman. I'm like, is that Danny Meyer and his wife? And just having a casual date, I think it was on a Thursday night, I'm like, are they opening a Shake Shack here on 7th Avenue? And I'm assuming that you might have a date night with your wife or something where you guys go out and relax.
One of our daughters goes to school at Berkeley Carroll, and so we hang out in Park Slope all the time, and one of the reasons we picked Berkeley Carroll for her, besides its amazing reputation, is how close it is to Franny's.
Well, Danny, I know you're busy today. What are your thoughts here so far at Googa Mooga?
Yuga Wooga.
Wrapping things up, we get to talk to Amanda Freitag, celebrity chef and TV personality. You might know her from Chopped or Iron Chef.
We are reporting live. We're here the morning after. We're with one of my favorite food personalities and a huge fan and supporter of the show at the morning after, Amanda Freitag. I want to thank you for all your support with the show. And also my DVR wants to not thank you for all the Chopped episodes that I have DVR with you.
Okay.
You wanted. How's that going for you now? How do you feel like you're sort of now you're settled into
TV?
TV.
No.
Like you're established.
No.
You have stalkers now.
And yes.
People like direct lots messaging of, you on Twitter.
Lots of marriage proposals, you know.
But now that you're here, seriously, like, do you feel comfortable? Like, now, you know, just sort of like in the new groove?
No.
You want to be back in a kitchen?
Yes.
Do you want to give us an exclusive
now? I
need
10 investors.
10 investors? How much?
100,000 each.
100,000 each? What neighborhood are we looking at?
West. We're on the west side.
West
downtown.
Side, below 14th Street?
Maybe not.
So this is possibly a morning after exclusive Amanda Freitag. We need 10 investors, 100K each. Would you be into doing like kiosks in stadiums and stuff like that? Or like a lot of people beat up Wolfgang a lot for doing stuff like that, but the guy also does the Oscars too. So like there is some kind of crossover.
I'll do it if I can find that one thing that I like to make over and over and over again. I can't. I'm a fair weather food fan. I want to make everything. I can't just make that one sandwich all the time, every day.
To hear more exclusive interviews, check out The Morning After, airing live every Sunday at 3 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org. Or check out one of our other 25 weekly shows. We are the food radio station. Look no further. This piece was brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit techserve.com. Produced and edited by Jack Inslee for heritageradionetwork.org.
All of us at Cane Vineyard and Winery are proud to support Heritage Radio Network and the growing movement to change the way we eat and think about our planet. For more information, go to cane5.com.
Oh, Bunneroo! That's our good friend, Anthony Kiedis, our new good friend, Red Hot Chili Peppers' exclusive interview at Bonnaroo on Saturday. Jesse, we're all set up with that? We got it all queued up, ready to go? Okay, cool. Before, you know, we're going to talk to our friend John Santiago, but I wanted, before we went in an interview, I wanted to play this quick clip from The Daily Show, John Stewart talking about soft drinks being banned, large format soft drinks being banned by Bloomberg.
Welcome to The Daily Show. My name is John Stewart. We got a good show for tonight. Jim Parsons, star of The Big Bang Theory and the new Broadway show Harvey. It's a show about an invisible rabbit that kills and eats Harvey Weinstein. I gotta tell you though, man, I don't know if you've been in New York City here, but it is hot in New York City. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to just take a little swig off a comically oversized movie theater beverage. It's so hot.
It could be the end of the big gulp. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg wants to ban the sale of all sugary drinks that are larger than 16 ounces. He wants the ban at all New York restaurants, movie theaters, sports arenas, and more.
He's drinking his drink right now. John Stewart's drinking a big Coca-Cola big gulp right now. Because I know it's radio, so you can't see it. He's continually drinking the Red Bull. I mean the Coca-Cola. Sorry. All right, he's back.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, John.
Wait, you're going to ban? No!
They can still sell 32 ounces of a sugar drink to you, but they'd have to put it in two containers. We're not taking away anybody's right to do things. We're simply forcing you to understand that you have to make the conscious decision to go from one cup to another cup.
Mr. Mayor, without these giant cups, where are homeless people going? You gonna tell them to take two smaller? Cause I'm not. Wow. Wow. Wow, Mayor Bloomberg. Wow. I love this idea you have of banning sodas larger than 16 ounces. It combines the draconian government overreach people love with the probable lack of results they expect. What are you doing? We already let you make up a third term as mayor. Put cameras on every intersection, and for some reason, picnic tables in the middle of 7th Avenue? What the f- is that? This is all we have left. This is all we have.
Everyone should check that out. Our friends over at Eater, Amanda Kluten Company, posted that clip. It's two parts. Sometimes it works on radio, sometimes it doesn't. But everyone should check it out. It's actually pretty hysterical. I'm looking across. First of all, he has a camera. You have usually people use their phones now for cameras. It's not very it's not great etiquette to have a big Nikon camera. Johnny Santiago, a seasoned veteran of New York City and a native of New York City, put himself on the map in the lexicon of New York City dining with Torch, a jazz and dining classic on Ludlow Street that echoed of the great supper clubs of New York City. Unfortunately, a fire ended the run of the restaurant. But years later, he teamed up with lifelong friend and partner, Jim Chu, to form Joe's. He is here today with his new chef, Andrew Pressler, to talk about Joe's and the future of the restaurant. What's up, guys?
Jason, I gotta say, it's always wonderful to be deep in the bush the morning after.
When you say bush, you mean Bushwick?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's because Danny Meyer's people might be listening to the show, and I need to keep it as PC as possible.
And the camera's left over from last night.
Okay, cool. No, because it is. We're in Bushwick. It's very
'80s
hipster. So I thought you were trying to be like '80s Japanese tourist kind of thing. You were kind of doing that thing. Wasn't sure.
I'm on an assignment for a sartorialist.
Well, you were playing a tennis match with chefs for a long time. You opened Joe's on Elizabeth Street, south of Houston. And we had spoken a long time ago, and you were looking for somebody, and it seems like you found the person.
Yes.
Talk to me first about how you guys hooked up and where you guys are at now, because I know Andrew's in the groove now. He's been in the kitchen for a while, and it's his menu.
We just launched his menu almost 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Spring menu. And, we'd run without, an executive chef for just about a year, a little over a year, while we were figuring out exactly our next move. And the guy that was running our kitchen for us took off for Philly.
He's not dating Steven Starr, is he?
No comment.
Okay.
Dating. What date is that? Who dates anymore? Funny enough, we found Andrew through Craigslist, which is how we actually found Joe's on Craigslist. So Craigslist does.
You found, wait, you found the space for Joe's?
Yeah,
on which was sale. Originally was what, the tasting room?
Which
it?
Was the tasting room for sale on Craigslist.
Which was when Craigslist was Craigslist. Now it's wait, a casual it? Encounter list. No, but you were there, you found that location
yes.
4 years ago when people, like now everyone goes on there to look at it. But 4 years ago, finding a restaurant space on Craigslist
yeah,
wasn't a standard. You were on the New York Times Sunday, you know, you're looking
right.
there and you're probably online
walking the streets
or whoever.
Talking to people, right.
Mr. Presler, how are you?
I'm doing well.
How are you liking working with Mr. Santiago? How's the transition working in a smaller kitchen compared to you worked for Zach Palacio for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, all the kitchens I worked for Zach with were pretty small too. But it's been really remarkably smooth. It's kind of like, you know, Jim and Johnny kind of had things all set up for me to just kind of walk in and, you know, cook. It was like, you know, had a great crew already set up, you know, equipment, can't ask for anything else. You know, I mean, it's all there. Like, all the tools are there. They just needed somebody to come in and cook.
Now, as a chef, and there's another menu in place, how long do you feel it takes for you to kind of change it and get your, make sort of become an author of the menu and what you want is essentially?
Well, it takes a little time. I mean, it took me a little time to come in, kind of see, just really get a handle on what they'd been doing and what the previous chefs had been, you know, working towards, and kind of understand what our guests were looking for when they came to Joe's, and also where I thought I could take that menu. So it's like, it took a little time of me just kind of playing with the food that was already there and the recipes and the formats that were kind of in place, you know, and just kind of little by little trying to tweak things here and there. To really kind of understand what it was that Jim and Johnny made Joe's into
yeah.
and where they wanted to take it. So after, you know, playing around for a little while and, you know, playing with different ideas and different themes and specials, we then, you know, we picked a couple that were working really well and turned it into a menu.
And Johnny, you changed a lot, right?
Yeah, I lost some weight. Oh, you mean the menu? Yes, okay. No. Yes.
No, do you want to get into that?
No.
That's
no.
A Dr. Phil
yeah,
show.
Yeah, that is a Dr. Phil show. No, Andrew's awesome. He's actually, you know, it was, you know, so we've been open now, it's 3 years.
Which is amazing. You survived.
You
survived
barely,
a two-year
yes.
curse.
Yes.
Or you have really good, you have really patient investors. Either way, yeah, I don't know.
Everyone loves tax write-offs. So, but now, like, you know, it's great because... One, just Andrew's style of cooking and his palate is just leaps and bounds above, you know, really all of our expectations. But we're going, you know, now with a much higher quality product. We get...
You had
know,
that pork... When
the pork
we were
chop.
There, we were doing a premium.
Dude,
review.
Our pork chop is going to take down the city. I swear to God. What? It's the best pork chop
in
town.
It reminded me of a Vinegar Hill House
No. Not to badmouth anyone, but our pork chop will take your pork chop down. That's an open invitation to anyone.
And I don't have to drive all the way to Dumbo or take
a train. Yeah, exactly. And you're in Nolita, Elizabeth Street, all the most beautiful people, women, everything are on that street.
And speaking of Elizabeth Street, one of the best things about having a show
right,
and going on record, there are beautiful people there.
There is.
None of which are usually models in town for Fashion Week, and then they leave.
They live right upstairs. We had like this Jessica, what's her name?
Alba?
Hot, like, no,
Jessica
no.
Hahn? Jessica Hahn?
No, oh God, what's her name? Got beautiful it. Australian, like, supermodel.
Oh, who cares? But
anyway.
Moving on, I mean, no, seriously, moving on. We talked about, Morning After is talking to Martin Scorsese's people.
Oh, yes.
And Martin Scorsese grew up on that block.
Right across the street.
I want to do a show with you and him from Joe's.
I would love that.
To talk. I'd talk to him about it. He'll be like, "Hey, it was up Elizabeth Street. When I grew up here, there was five butchers on the day.
Our space used to be."
Speaking of NYU, Joe, did you take any of the Scorsese film classes or what?
No, that
wasn't. Mean Streets 101.
That wasn't part of my curriculum.
It wasn't.
Oh. I mean, every once in a while, people would be like, "Oh yeah, there he is. He's like in the building, and I rode the elevator with him."
Are you serious?
I didn't ride the elevator with him.
What about Spike Lee?
Everyone rides the elevator with Spike Lee.
What about Jim Jarmusch?
Yeah, that's all mandatory.
What about Wynn Wenders?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh.
I'm not cultured.
Oh, no, I'm just going down the list of
NYU
guys.
He went to film
grads.
School. He doesn't know who Wynn Wenders is?
I did not go
no,
to film school.
No, he was a radio guy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I went to radio school.
Right.
He's a radio guy. But that pork chop that you had,
yes,
I think is on a Twitter account, Matthew Bourgeois. I think it's somewhere on Twitter, the Twitter world. If you could tweet at Joe's Try Pound Pork Chop or Chuleta.
Chuleta, baby.
For his Spanish clientele. Definitely try that. Have you changed the happy hour there? You guys been doing oysters and stuff like that? Is there anything else that you kind of changed in that middle sort of 5 to 7 meal period?
Yeah, no. Right now, the happy hour is still going. Andrew's actually brought on like these great pork sliders that we do instead of the oysters. And he's just, really taking the menu in a whole direction. Like, our bar's doing great business. Mm-hmm. And, we have these beautiful dining rooms that are kind of hidden in the back. And so we're just really stepping up the restaurant end of the space with Andrew and everything to
figure it out. So let's take a break. I want to come back. I want to ask Andrew what format he serves his sliders on, because I think that's usually the best kind of thing. What format? Sorry, that's industry for bread.
Oh.
We'll take a break. This is the morning after. Laura Wirtz, 86list.com, on the horn with the hot job of the week. Laura Wirtz, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jason?
How have you been? How are you 2 weeks off?
I know.
Were you at the Great Googa Mooga? Because I didn't see you there.
I was there on Sunday. Were you there on Saturday?
I was there. We were there both days. We covered everything. Did you not have extra Mooga? Because I feel sorry if you didn't.
I did not.
Oh, so you were in the what we like to call in the industry GA. General admission.
it was just me walking around general admission.
Oh, so that was you online. Okay, we have Laura Wirtz, 86list.com, with the hot job of the week. What's the hot job of the week, Laura Wirtz?
Well, this week, the hot job comes from Little Neck, a clam shack in Gowanus, Brooklyn.
Love that place.
Yeah.
Most recently on Mike and Judy's show 2 weeks ago. Tune into that show.
Oh, nice. They're actually seeking a talented chef de cuisine and or a sous chef with ambitious ideas about fish, crustaceans, mollusks, and bivalves.
Are you serious? That's the funniest ad I've ever heard. I have ambitions about crustaceans.
Oh, no.
No, but so they're looking for somebody who knows how to cook seafood and open an oyster.
Oh, no.
Ambitiously.
No, they're looking for a chef de cuisine, a CDC is, or an executive sous chef, whatever you want to call it. So they need somebody in there in the kitchen that knows what they're doing.
That's right. They say be ready to show off your shocking skills if you come in for an interview.
Fair enough. So how's life been? You've been married now for a month. How's everything?
That's right.
You guys still operating on the same toothbrush rule and all that stuff? Bathrooms are clean, no towels on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a good time. We actually had a weekend in Memphis 2 weekends ago. We got some trips planned, so we're doing really well.
That is amazing. Laura Wirtz, 86list.com. I will talk to you soon. Let's go now to the ultimate bachelor, Johnny Santiago. Owner-operator of Joe's, co-owner, co. Isn't it annoying to hear co in front of everything that you do? Because you own Joe's with Jim Chu.
Yeah, no, I don't mind the co. I like that.
No,
I like to share responsibility.
No, yeah, because you go to LA and you hang out, and then Chu runs
and then
the
Jim
operation.
Yes, yes.
What's going on with LA? Can you give me that exclusive? Because I know you're kind of
yeah.
Uh-oh. There you go. Oh wow. Wow, Joe's but, good. Jack would have had that on at least for 2 minutes.
I'm a little upset on the job of the week. She didn't have that. Joe's is actually looking for a bartender. Like, I mean, really?
Wait,
like,
you guys looking for a bartender?
Yes.
Wow, that's a good gig.
That is a very good gig.
And what days are you looking for?
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Right. It's like, not you know, that it's not that Saturday brunch shift.
No, it's not the Saturday brunch.
JT, you know somebody, right?
I know a couple people.
Really? Yeah. No, seriously.
I can sling a mean
Are they ambitious? They need to be ambitious.
They also have incredible shucking skills.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, yeah, I'm looking for a chef de cuisine that knows how to open an oyster. It's like, if you look at a chef de cuisine, that should be a given on, like, that knows how to open an oyster and stuff. Wouldn't you agree with that, chef? Wouldn't you agree that if you're putting that on, you're just looking for a babysitter? Isn't that like a babysitter ad?
Well, first of all, if you're looking for a chef de cuisine, you're going to attract people who don't want to shuck oysters anymore.
Exactly.
They've done that already.
Yeah.
And they're kind of over it. But yeah, that's a confusing ad. It sounds like, you know, you may be just throwing out the title of chef de cuisine,
exactly.
Which really it means you're a kitchen manager and you're just making sure people shuck enough oysters per minute.
It's a payroll position that you want to have somebody work 6 days.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like that place. Actually, they were on the Mike and Judy show, I think, 2 weeks ago. Morning After what was in there on their opening. We tried to get them in, but they were really busy. But I know the place. Mr. Santiago,
yes.
Anything else? Well, I want to hear about L.A. Tell me
about
L.A.
So, all right. L.A. is happening. It's not Joe's. It's something else. I should be able to tell you something in a month.
So you'll give us the exclusive.
I'll give you the exclusive. I'll come back. I'll call in. Whatever. I'll call you from LA, from the site. Whatever it is, you got it.
Oh,
it's
yours. So you know, there's a time difference, right? You're familiar with
three? Yes. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Jen Tulloch in studio. How are you?
I'm very well. It's nice to see you, Jason.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your hair.
I appreciate that. How's the sugar-free Red Bull?
She was talking to me.
I haven't had a Red Bull since the last Bush was in office, and I forgot. I forgot that tingly lip sensation that it inspires.
Ooh.
I'm barely speaking right now. I just want to do cartwheels.
Do you know GW was in recently for his portrait?
Really?
In the in the White House now.
That's right.
And you know, yeah, he said to Obama, he said, if you know, when you walk around the White House and you're confused and you see the portrait of George W., you say to yourself, hey, what would George do? And it was a joke. Now, you know, you see that...
He didn't say that.
He did. No, it was a joke, but that was a funny part about it. It was a joke. It was like you're walking around the White House, you see that JFK thing where he's got his arms folded, right. And he's looking down, and the Cuban Missile Crisis going on, and be like, what would Jack do? It was the same kind of deal. But you're here, you're doing a TV show, you got a ton of... You always have a ton of stuff going on.
It's the nature of my ADD. My residual childhood ADD. I have to have six things going on at once.
And I think you're our most frequent guest here.
Oh,
the morning after.
That's delightful to hear. Thank you.
You are. So you have a show.
Or maybe it just means I have the most free time of all of your guests.
No. You are a morning after mainstay. We love you here. You're welcome here more anytime. But I want to talk about your projects that are going on.
I'd love to. Well, I have... most recently, I've been working on a new sketch show with another awesome New York comic named Oscar Montoya. He's a good friend of mine. And that show is called Pray It Away with Oscar and Jen, which is sort of poke at the ex-gay movement. And
ex-games movement?
Ex-gay.
Oh.
The ex-gay. The Pray It Away former
gay
what you're movement.
Saying. I know what you're saying.
Which is a joke that writes itself. So we're doing a two-person show at the People's Improv Theater, which is on East 23rd Street between Park and Lexington. And the premiere of that will be Wednesday, June 20th.
Okay.
Which is about a month from now at 11 p.m. It's five buckaroos. It's half stage and half video. Oscar and I wrote it. We're pretty excited about it. But... I do a couple of the characters that I've done in the morning after before. Estelle Van Buren and Jen Atari both appear in the show.
And Jen Atari has a new album coming out.
Jen Atari does have a new album. For those of you who don't know who Jen Atari is, which is probably most of you, Jen Atari is my satirical rap act on the side. But
is it satire? Because it sounds good.
You know, it started as a satire. That's a good question, and it's sort of a strange one to answer. But
The short answer is it started that way, and it is.
They said the same thing about Mark Twain.
It is. Which is obviously the inspiration for Ginatari. It started as that. It started as part of a comedy show, and then that sort of fell away, and it just became hip-hop music. So I'm having a good time. We're in the studio right now doing a six-song EP that's Egypt-themed called The Sphinx of Giza.
What does EP actually stand for? Extended play?
Incredibly precious.
So you don't know?
And incredibly precious.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, and incredibly precious. But
it's extended play.
It's extended play? Yep. It's like hi-fi, high fidelity, that great movie with John Cusack.
Yes.
But the definition of LP and EP now are pretty different. We need to move on, I'm sure. Anyway, Parade Away, June 20th, the People's Improv Theater, 11 p.m. For more information, you can go to the Pitt's website, which is thepitt-nyc.com, or you can go to my website, gentolic.com. The first is probably more interesting. But that's thepitt-nyc.com.
And I have one rule for you next week when you cover Danny Meyer's event.
Please.
We have to be very PC over there.
When am I not PC?
No, you are. I know. I don't want to. We're starting a relationship with.
I'm like a Pixar movie.
I know you are like a Pixar movie, but Steve Jobs is no longer with us, so you never know what's going to happen with a Pixar movie now.
All right. I'll be careful. I promise.
I don't know what's up with that John Lasseter. He seems very dubious, that guy. He could, there's that new movie coming out, Brave, actually. Mm-hmm.
It stars the loosely voice Scottish actress Kelly MacDonald, who I recently, I wouldn't say I made fun of her. I like her a lot, but I do an impression of her in one of my shows.
All right,
owner of the restaurant I work at, Highlands in the West Village, is a lovely woman named Mary Wan, who's friends with Kelly, and I guess she showed her this video when she was in Glasgow a couple weeks ago. She called me. She's like, Jed, so, I'm sitting here with Kelly, and we're laughing at your video. She thinks it's proper. She thinks it's really good.
That's good. You got good crack. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We have Bjork calling in, and then we'll talk to Jesse Kiefer about Bonnaroo. We'll mess with Joe a little bit. Morning After.
This program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery.
Them chain with them diamonds in it. Where'd you get that matching beans with them windows tinted? Who them girls you be with when you be
Man, I got Ludacris. What's his acting name?
Oh God, I don't remember.
No, he's got an acting name.
Mr. Ludacris.
He's in the movie Crash, but I like the original Crash, the David Cronenberg Crash with James Spader. It says car crashes and sex. That's the poster for it.
I think that's in James Spader's writer.
His whole thing.
It has to have sex in the tagline.
But speaking of Bonnaroo, I'm going to talk to Jesse Kiefer in about 2 minutes. But Bjork, people called and she's going to call. She's a little, not necessarily upset, but she just wanted to call and she was double booked to Bonnaroo or something happened. Hold on 1 second. Make sure it's there. Hello. Are you there, Bjork?
Jason? Hello. I would like to tell you a story about what happened to me the other day.
Wait. Hold on 1 second. Bjork, thank you for calling in, first of all, because this is confusing everybody. This is Bjork. You haven't put out an album in a while. You did that movie Dancer in the Dark. You pissed off everybody with that outfit that you did at the Oscars.
Which one?
I don't know. The thing that looked like a goose. That was like a blue kind of feathery thing. I don't know what that was.
I have a closet 7 miles into the Earth's core, the size of a lima bean, which all of my costumes are kept in, so you would have to be specific.
But we're here to call in about Bonnaroo. Talk about that for 1 second.
The other day, I was on my farm in Iceland. I was in the middle of stuffing 3,000 tiny marbles into the mouth of a dead cow because it was beautiful and pleasing to me. And my Earth partner, Matthew Barney, said, Bjork, darling, you have a phone call. So I went into the cooking room to take my phone call on my Kauheit phone, and it was my agent to inform me that I had not been accepted into the Bonnaroo, which was fine with me at first because I had applied when I was high on squid oil, and I did not know myself.
Okay, so you're calling in, one, to promote something, and also, two, to say you were upset about not being invited to Bonnaroo, but that's really not your style. You don't get mad at stuff. You're kind of like mute with...
I wish only peace and music and children's bubbles that have virgin skin on them for everyone and all of their mothers.
So, but you also called in to promote about that movie that you did with your Earth partner?
My Earth carnal partner, Matthew Barney. You may know from his Cremaster series at the Tate Museum in London. He and I have made many movies together. We have released 2 of 49. The others are not what we have deemed appropriate.
Okay, so if anyone wants to buy your albums now or whatever, is there any specific place they should go?
They can go inside of the hearts of their minds and look inside themselves to play the drums, which exist in all of us.
Thank you for calling in on this international call. We'll follow up with you. Maybe you can come in studio eventually.
Thank you for being a human being.
I don't know what to say to that. Jesse Kiefer, are you there? We're Jesse Kiefer, producer of The Morning After. Logistics set up for next week. I know you're getting there Friday. I'm flying into Bonnaroo Saturday morning. I think my flight gets in at 10. I will be taken from a car from... Is it Nashville?
Nashville to the Bonnaroo Farm?
To Bonnaroo Farm.
No chopper? Established where that is.
No. Fish, all the 4 members of Fish have rented all the private planes and helicopters for the event. Saturday I will get there from 12 to 6. We're doing all of our interviews.
It's a powerhouse. It's a power play.
Power play. And then at 7 o'clock, we're kind of going to relax. And then I have to get on a plane Sunday, I think, at 9 a.m., I believe.
I mean, it's going to be a whirlwind for you, Jason. I don't envy you.
It's all of my anxieties wrapped into one. It's planes, it's car traffic, and just big crowds. I'm just going to... do people sell a Valium there and stuff? Can I get that stuff?
I'm sure you can get that among a million other drugs.
Okay, I just know. My anxiety level is going to be very high because everything that I hate, that scares me in the world is going... It involves their big fields and things. Johnny, what's up? You're itching to see something.
We're actually sending an ambassador from Joe's there. Jordan Reeves, our bartender.
Oh, which is...
He will be there, the guy with the glasses.
The new guy.
He's been there like over a year.
Oh, really?
But so he'll be there. So if you need any hand holding, if you know you're a little homesick, you need someone to pull you through, score you some Valium or something, look for Jordan Reeves.
How long are you going to be in Nashville?
Just almost 24 hours.
My parents and my brother all live in Nashville.
Really?
I've got a couple restaurant recommendations for you.
Oh, well, I'm not going to be there that long.
Can they pick Jason up and take him to the farm?
I'll give him $100.
If you asked my mother, Mary Gay Tulloch, from Little Rock, Arkansas, to pick you up, I guarantee she would be there in a heartbeat, and she would have a pie waiting.
No. What's your brother doing?
He's a musician.
I know. If I give him $100 to pick me up...
He probably will. Do you want my brother to pick you up from the airport?
Yes.
Let's arrange that.
His name is Ryan Tulloch.
Yeah, I'll give him $100.
We'll make it happen.
It's $100 both ways.
Great.
No, because I can imagine. I mean, what would you charge? But there's a couple of things people I've been talking to, and they said I have to speak to these people. Das Racist, Major Laser, Mark Maron, who I want, Flying Lotus, Pelican. Am I that not cool? I don't know who any of these people are.
Das Racist is... They're close to...
Is that like German... Isn't that like the Nazi party? Das Racist?
Well, it started as... They're a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, they're definitely aware of, I think, sort of the satirical nature of some of their songs. But this is good music. They make cool, like...
For a racist.
Not bad for racist. Matt Bourgeois, where are you at with that girl you've been now to bookend the show?
Get weird.
I'm Dutch. Isn't that weird?
Fisting.
No, we sent that last email and I just got a long big W-A-A-A-A-T.
Whatever. Let her be boring. Let her be boring in her little LA. No, let her be boring in her little New York. Where's she staying?
Up in Manhattan somewhere.
Well, uptown? Let her be boring in a little bubble for a few weeks and then go back to LA. I am Jason Colucci. You can follow me on Twitter. Woo! at the Jason Colucci. We might have a guest, Joe. We might have a guest host next week, covering just doing the morning after while we're covering Bonnaroo. Follow us, Matt. You're going to be doing the Twitter feed all of the weekend. I'm going to give you $50 to do that, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm already $250 budget wise between Jen's brother and this. I'm already in the hole. You could follow at the Jason Colucci, Facebook, all that fun stuff. This is the morning after, liveheritageradionetwork.com.
Deep in the bush.
Thank you to all of our guests. We are deep into the bush. Peace.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.